A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been building an inventory system and needs to photograph small products fast. Set up, shoot, stash the rig, move on. He's tried three things, and none of them quite land. The pop-up light box. It's the staple, the thing everyone recommends. But it's fiddly, and he's not wrong about that. Then there's the rigid card system. Two mat cards and a little corner clamp. Dead simple. Except you're paying $40 for what is, let's be honest, two pieces of coated cardboard. And finally, the mini T-bar backdrop stand, about 30 centimeters high, with these tiny clips meant to hold a fabric backdrop. Promising, but he hasn't tested it yet, and the reviews aren't kind. So which of these actually works when you're not on a studio budget, and you have exactly one corner of a desk to spare?
The thing to understand right out of the gate is that product photography at this scale is caught between two worlds that don't want to meet. On one side, you've got studio quality, controlled light, clean backgrounds, repeatable results. On the other side, you've got what I'd call camping gear logic. It needs to pack down, deploy fast, and not eat your whole desk. Every solution is a compromise somewhere in that gap. Pop-up boxes are the Swiss Army knife of the category. Versatile, does a lot of things adequately, but the mechanism that makes it work is also what makes it floppy over time. Card systems are the minimalist's dream, nothing to break because there's nothing to break. But you're paying a premium per square inch for something that looks like it should cost $4. Mini stands are the modular option, flexible in theory, except the clips are weak, and the whole thing tips over if you breathe on it. There's no single winner here. The best choice depends on whether you value speed, image quality, or zero storage footprint most. And there's a fourth path most people overlook entirely, which is where I think we're going to end up.
Before we get to the secret fourth option, starting with the most common, the pop-up light box. It's the default recommendation on every how to photograph products list. Is it actually good?
It's good until it isn't. The mechanism is clever. A spring steel wire frame sewn into the walls so it snaps open into a cube or dome shape. You unfold it, it springs into form, you've got a diffuse shooting environment in under 30 seconds. Models like the Limo Studio 700 watt, which is actually about 85 watts equivalent, the naming is pure marketing, or the ESDDI foldable box, both run around $60 to $80. The pros are real. Built-in diffusion means no harsh shadows. The seamless background curves eliminate that line where the wall meets the floor, and they're good for reflective objects because the light wraps around evenly. You put a shiny watch or a glass bottle in there, and you don't get hot spots.
And the cons?
The wireframe fatigues. This is the thing nobody tells you when you buy one. Users report sagging after about 50 folds. The spring steel loses its spring. You start noticing the walls don't sit quite square anymore, the diffusion panels get wavy, and eventually it looks less like a studio and more like a collapsed tent. SLR Lounge documented this in their roundup. It's not a defect, it's inherent to the material. Spring steel has a finite number of flex cycles.
So you're buying something with a built-in expiration date.
And there's another problem. The pop-up action itself. When that wireframe snaps open, it can knock over small products. You've set up your shot, you've got the product positioned just so, you go to close the front flap and the whole thing lurches. It's especially bad with lightweight items. A USB cable, a pair of earrings, anything under about 50 grams is at risk. Then there's the storage footprint. When it's folded, it's a flat disk about 40 centimeters across. That's smaller than the deployed cube, but it's not nothing. It's not pocketable. You can't slide it into a drawer unless it's a deep drawer. It ends up living on a shelf or behind a door, and if you're in a small workspace, that's real estate you might not have.
And Daniel specifically said he wants something that stashes away quickly.
Right. So the pop-up box is fast to deploy but annoying to store, and it's got a limited lifespan, not a ringing endorsement for the default option.
What about the card system? Two rigid cards, a corner clamp. It's almost too simple.
It is too simple, and that's both its strength and its weakness. The setup is typically two A3-sized matte cards. You get white, gray, and black, usually, held at a 90-degree angle by a small plastic corner clamp. You place your product in the corner, light it from above or the side, and shoot. Zero moving parts, nothing to break, flat packs to A3 size so you can slide it into a bookshelf or behind a monitor.
And the price?
This is where it gets absurd. Brands like Last Light and Savage charge $35 to $50 for what is, mechanically, two pieces of coated cardboard and a plastic clamp. The Last Light Tri-Grip Reflector Kit, for example, is $45 for two 30cm cards and the clamp. I looked up the Adorama listing, that's the real price, you're paying roughly $7 per square inch of cardboard.
$45 for cardboard with a coating.
With a coating, yes. Now, to be fair, and I want to be fair here, the coating is doing real work. It's a precision matte surface designed to reflect light evenly without hot spots. The cards are engineered to stay flat over time, not warp or curl at the edges. If you've ever tried to use a piece of poster board from the drugstore, you know it curls within a week, and suddenly your seamless background has a wave in it.
But is that engineering worth $45?
For most people, no. The value proposition collapses when you realize the cards are limited to objects that fit within the fold, so roughly 15 centimeters in any dimension. Anything larger in your cropping or the background doesn't fill the frame. And there's no built-in light control. You need external lamps or you're relying on window light, which means your results vary by time of day and weather. The card system is fantastic if you're a traveling photographer who needs something that weighs nothing and can't break, and you're shooting small jewelry or watches in hotel rooms with good natural light. For everyone else, it's overpriced and undercapable.
So we've got a box that wears out and expensive cardboard. What about the mini backdrop stand? Daniel seemed most curious about this one.
The mini T-bar stand. This is the modular approach. Two vertical poles about 30 centimeters high, a crossbar, and spring clips designed to hold a 60 by 60 centimeter fabric backdrop. Brands like Emart and Fovatec sell these for $25 to $40 on Amazon. The appeal is obvious. You can swap backdrops. White fabric one day, black velvet the next, maybe a textured surface for variety. It packs down to a 30 centimeter tube, which is compact. And you can use any light source, so you're not locked into built-in LEDs that might be the wrong color temperature.
And the catch?
The clips. The clips are the catch. Photography Talk did a roundup of these, and the Amazon reviews tell the same story over and over. The spring clips slip. You clamp a piece of lightweight polyester fabric, which is what most of these backdrops are made of, and it slowly slides out, sometimes while you're shooting. You'll have the backdrop set, you'll be dialing in focus, and suddenly there's a wrinkle because the fabric has sagged half a centimeter.
So you're fighting gravity the whole time.
Constantly. And the stand itself is top-heavy. The base is small. It has to be. It's a tabletop unit. So the whole thing tips forward if you put any tension on the fabric. Some users report weighting the base with a small sandbag or a clamp, but now you're adding accessories to fix a product that should work out of the box. The deeper issue is that it's not a complete solution. You buy the stand, and then you still need to buy fabric backdrops separately, and you still need to buy lights separately. The $28 price tag is misleading. By the time you've got a usable setup, you're in for $60 or $70, and you're still dealing with slipping clips.
So all three have real flaws. The pop-up box fatigues, the cards are overpriced, the mini stand can't hold its own backdrop.
And this is where we get to the thing most people don't consider because it's not sold as a kit. The fourth path.
Which is?
The desk studio. Modular, built from individual components, mounts to your desk edge, and outperforms all three consumer solutions for about $100 total. Here's the component breakdown. You start with a 40cm articulating arm. Neewer makes one for about $38, Manfrotto if you want to spend more. It clamps to any desk edge up to about 6 centimeters thick, and the arm has two or three joints so you can position it overhead, at an angle, straight on, whatever the shot needs.
So instead of putting the product inside a box, you're bringing the light to the product.
And the light source is a small LED panel, something like the LumCube Panel Mini, about $60, outputs 2,500 lux at 30 centimeters, USB powered, so you're not hunting for outlets. It's about the size of a deck of cards. You mount it to the arm, aim it where you want it, and you've got controlled, repeatable lighting from any angle. For the background, you use a roll of seamless paper. Savage 53-inch seamless, about $15 for a 10-foot roll, which is enough for roughly 200 product shots. You unroll it, tape the end to your desk or a wall, and it creates a smooth curve from horizontal to vertical with no seam, no wrinkle, no corner. When it gets dirty or scuffed, you tear off the used section and pull down fresh paper. Pennies per shot.
So the total is 38 for the arm, 60 for the light, 15 for the paper, about $115.
And it packs down to a 30-centimeter tube and a flat roll of paper. The arm unclamps and folds, the light goes in a drawer, the paper roll stands in a corner. Zero permanent footprint.
How does this compare directly to Daniel's three options?
Faster to set up than the pop-up box. No unfolding, no wrestling with wireframes, you clamp the arm, aim the light, pull down some paper, and you're shooting. Cheaper per shot than the card system. The paper is literally pennies per foot, and you're not limited to objects that fit inside a 15-centimeter fold. More stable than the mini stand, the arm is clamped to the desk, not balanced on a tiny base. You could bump the desk, and the light stays exactly where you put it.
What's the downside?
You need a desk with a solid edge. No glass tabletops, no flimsy IKEA honeycomb core desks that the clamp would crush. The arm has a weight limit, about 2 kilograms for most models, so you can't hang a full-size studio light off it. And it's not as portable as the card system. You're not throwing this in a backpack and shooting in a coffee shop.
But for a fixed inventory station, which is what Daniel's building, those aren't real problems.
They're not. And here's the second order insight that makes this whole comparison click. The real problem with all three consumer solutions is that they treat product photography as a kit problem. Buy this box, buy these cards, buy this stand. Here's your product photography solution in a box. But product photography at this scale is actually a geometry problem. You need to control two things independently, the angle of the light and the distance to the background. In a pop-up box, those are fixed. The lights are built into the walls, the background is the back curve of the box. In the card system, the background is the surface the product sits on, so you can't separate them. The mini stand lets you adjust the background distance, but the light is still whatever you bring separately. Only the modular desk studio lets you adjust both independently. You can move the light closer or farther, angle it from above or the side, and the paper background can be 2 centimeters behind the product or 20, whatever eliminates the shadow. That's the geometry that makes product shots look professional, and none of the kits give you independent control over it.
So the kit thinking is the trap. You buy the box, and you're stuck with the box's geometry.
And the box's geometry is designed for versatility, not for Yayoi specific products. A pop-up box has to work for a coffee mug, and a necklace, and a smartphone, and a pair of shoes. It does all of those adequately, and none of them well. The desk studio is tuned to whatever you're actually shooting.
What kind of volume are we talking about where this starts to matter?
The research on this is interesting. This setup is what a lot of Etsy sellers and small eBay resellers use when they're shooting 10 to 50 products a week. At that volume, the time savings from not unfolding and refolding a box, not fighting with slipping clips, not replacing curled cards, it adds up to real hours. And the consistency is better. Same light position every time because the arm stays where you clamped it. Same background because the paper roll hasn't moved.
I want to push on one thing. You said the pop-up box fatigues after about 50 folds. If Daniel's shooting, say, 20 products a week, that's, what, setting it up once a week, folding it down once? So 50 folds is nearly a year of use. Is that actually a problem?
That's fair. 50 folds is a year of weekly use, and for $65, maybe you're fine replacing it annually. But the fatigue isn't binary. It doesn't work perfectly for 49 folds and collapse on the 50th. It degrades. By fold 30, the walls are slightly less taut, the diffusion is slightly less even, and you're compensating with exposure or post-processing without realizing why your shots look worse.
So it's a slow decline, not a cliff.
Right, and the desk studio doesn't decline. The arm is metal. If you stay within the weight limit, it'll outlast your camera. The paper is disposable by design. The LED panel might dim after thousands of hours, but that's years of use at this scale.
I'm sold on the desk studio for anyone with a permanent setup, but I keep thinking about the price. $115 versus $28 for the mini stand. That's a meaningful gap.
It is. But the mini stand isn't $28 in practice. You need fabric backdrops. That's another $15 to $20. You need a light. Even a basic desk lamp with a daylight bulb is $15. Now you're at $60 for a setup where the clips slip and the stand tips over. The $115 for the desk studio is the real price of a working solution. The $28 is the price of a stand that needs $50 of accessories to become barely functional.
That's a good way to frame it. The sticker price versus the actually works price.
And the actually works price for the card system is even worse. $45 for the cards, plus you need a light source. Another $30 to $60 for something decent, and you're limited to tiny objects. You're spending $80 to photograph things smaller than a paperback book.
All right, so we've got our recommendation. But Hilbert's been making a noise back there.
The pop-up box is fine until you need to photograph something with a metal surface.
Go on.
I used to sell vintage camera lenses on eBay. This was 2012-2013. Bought a $60 pop-up box, one of the early ones before everyone started white labeling the same Chinese factory. Worked fine for plastic-bodied lenses. Then I tried to shoot a Canon FD50mm with the original metal lens hood. The spring steel in the box frame reflected into the glass. You'd get this ghost flare right across the front element, looked like a crescent moon. Couldn't fix it in post. Couldn't angle it away because the box only has one shape. Sold that lens for $40 less than I should have because the photos looked like I'd shot it in a funhouse mirror.
So what did you do?
Cut up a moving box. The kind you get at Home Depot for $2. Cut a hole in the back for the lens to poke through. Well, for the camera lens to shoot through. Lined the inside with printer paper, three sheets taped together. Lit it with an IKEA Tertial desk lamp, the one with the spring-loaded arm, $10. Put a piece of baking parchment over the bulb for diffusion. Cost me $0 because I already had the box and the lamp. The parchment was in the kitchen. The photos were better than anything I got out of the $80 pop-up box. No reflections because there's no metal in a cardboard box. The paper lining gave me even diffusion. I could cut the hole wherever I wanted for different angles. I sold about 60 lenses with that setup. Still have the box somewhere. It's flattened under my bed.
You're saying we just spent 10 minutes recommending a $115 solution, and you did it with a box and a desk lamp.
I'm saying you don't need to spend $115. You need a box, a lamp, and some paper. The rest is marketing.
I want to push back on that, not to defend the desk studio, but because there's a consistency problem with the cardboard box approach. Every box is different. The paper lining wrinkles differently each time you set it up. The lamp position changes unless you mark the desk. If you're shooting 20 products a week, the repeatability matters.
I marked the desk.
You marked the desk.
With a pencil. Little X where the lamp goes. Little X where the box goes. Took 10 seconds.
Okay, but the paper lining. Printer paper yellows over time, especially near a lamp. The parchment diffuser browns if it gets too hot. You're replacing parts constantly, and each replacement changes the light quality slightly.
The parchment costs $2 a roll. You replace it every couple months. The paper you steal from the printer tray. It's not a precision instrument, it's a box with a hole in it.
I think what Hilbert's really saying, and he's not wrong, is that the problem is simpler than the market wants you to believe. The market wants to sell you a product photography solution. What you actually need is controlled light on a clean background. Everything else is packaging.
The Lume Cube is nice. I'm not saying it isn't. But a $10 desk lamp and baking parchment gets you 90% of the way there, and the last 10% is only visible if you're shooting for a magazine.
The color temperature on a desk lamp is usually around 2700 Kelvin, very warm. The Lume Cube is adjustable from 3200 to 5600 Kelvin. If you're shooting products where color accuracy matters, clothing, cosmetics, anything with a specific brand color, that's a real difference.
I was shooting lenses, silver and black. Color temperature didn't matter.
We've got a spectrum now. On one end, Hilbert's $0 cardboard box and a desk lamp. On the other end, the $115 desk studio. In the middle, a bunch of consumer kits that cost almost as much and work worse.
I think that's the honest answer to Daniel's question. If you're shooting products where color doesn't matter and you're willing to spend 10 minutes dialing in a DIY setup, Hilbert's approach works. If you need repeatability and color accuracy and you're shooting regularly, the Desk Studio pays for itself and save time and consistent results. What doesn't make sense is spending $65 on a pop-up box that fatigues, or $45 on coated cardboard, or $28 on a stand that can't hold its own backdrop. Those are all worse than both the cheap option and the expensive option.
The misconception I keep seeing with this topic is that pop-up light boxes are durable and last forever. The spring steel frame fatigues after repeated folding, typically noticeable after 50 to 100 uses, and the decline is gradual enough that you might not realize your shots are getting worse.
The card system. The misconception there is that it's overpriced because of the materials. The cost is actually in the precision coating and the flatness engineering. But for most users, the value proposition still doesn't close. A DIY solution works just as well, and the precision only matters if you're doing color critical work on reflective surfaces.
The open question I keep coming back to, is the physical product photography setup even going to be necessary in a few years? The AI-driven tools are getting better fast. Virtual studios that generate product shots from a single phone photo, automatic background removal and relighting. Some of this is already in Shopify and Amazon seller tools.
It's a fair question. If you can take one well-lit photo of a product and have an AI generate 20 lifestyle shots with different backgrounds and lighting, the need for a physical setup shrinks dramatically. We're not there yet for high-end product work. The AI still struggles with reflections and transparent objects, but for inventory photography, the kind of thing Daniel's doing, it might already be good enough. But for now, if you need to shoot products today and you want something that isn't fiddly, the Desk Studio is the most practical path. Or a cardboard box and a desk lamp if you're Hilbert.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, who apparently has a cardboard box under his bed that's taken better product photos than most people's studio setups. If you like this episode, rate us 5 stars and tell a friend who still uses a pop-up box from 2018. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.